There's a new book by Gabriel Garcia Marquez, the famous Colombian writer. The publisher describes it as more irrefutable proof of his talent, dedication, and love for literature. His fans love the story, but one critic disagreed. This critic said that the book doesn't work. He even went so far as to say the book should be destroyed. That critic is Garcia Marquez himself. His wish, before he died 10 years ago, was that this book should never be published. But now his sons have published it anyway and have asked for their father's forgiveness. Hi there, everyone. I'm Jeff, and this is Plain English, where we help you upgrade your English with stories about current events and trending topics. You heard today's story, Until August, the new novella by the Colombian writer Gabriel Garcia Marquez, was published against the writer's wishes. Should his family have published this book or not? In the second half of the lesson, I'll show you a difficult English expression, cloud your judgment. Now, before we get started, just a note on vocabulary. In English, a novel is a fictional story that, in print, is usually anywhere from 200 pages to much more, but usually 300, 400 pages, something like that. A novel is something you read over many hours in several sittings. There's a lot of time for the author to develop the story. A short story is much slimmer. In print, it's anywhere from 5, 10 pages to, say, 30 or 40 pages, but you read it in one sitting. A novella is something that fits in between. It's longer than a short story. You would spend a few hours with it, but it's not as long. It's not as fully developed as a novel. Now, the difference is not just about page count. A novel and a short story are really two different art forms. But just to make things simple, a novel is long, a short story is short, and a novella is somewhere in the middle. And Until August, in print, is only about 100 pages, so I'm going to call it a novella in this story. All right, get ready. This is another episode where you're going to have to make a tough judgment. So let's get going. Gabriel Garcia Marquez was a Colombian writer. He wrote novels, short stories, nonfiction works, and screenplays over a 40-year career. He won the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1982, becoming the first Colombian and only the fourth Latin American writer to win the prize. The Nobel Committee cited his novels and short stories in which the fantastic and the realistic are combined in a richly composed world of imagination reflecting a continent's life and conflicts. Though he spent much of his life outside Colombia, Garcia Marquez often wrote about the region he grew up in, Colombia's Caribbean coast. That's the setting of two of his most famous works, 100 Years of Solitude and Love in the Time of Cholera. It's also the setting of Until August, a novella that Garcia Marquez worked on intermittently for decades. It tells of Anna, who makes an annual trip to visit her mother's grave every August. She takes a ferry to an offshore island, stays one night in a run-down hotel, and returns home. One year, she meets a stranger at a hotel bar, and they have a one-night sexual encounter. In subsequent years, she makes this part of her annual pilgrimage. She meets a new man each time. Garcia Marquez conceived Until August as just one of four stories in a larger collection. Though he started the book in the late 1990s, he set it aside to work on other projects. He picked it up again in the mid-2000s, but still didn't finish it. He said he was happy with the protagonist, but he wasn't happy with the plot. He was never able to finish it to his satisfaction. As he aged, Garcia Marquez slipped into dementia and was unable to finish the novel or the other stories. Until August was the only story of the collection that he drafted. And in those final cloudy years, he gave his verdict. "This book doesn't work," he said. "It must be destroyed." Garcia Marquez died in April 2014. He left five drafts of this manuscript. They were never published, but they were placed in his archive in Texas, where scholars could visit and study them. But now, on the 10th anniversary of the writer's death, his two sons, Rodrigo and Gonzalo, have decided to publish the novella against their father's wishes. Were they right to do so? Here is what the sons said in the preface of Until August. They asked, "Was it a betrayal to our father's wishes?" And they concluded that yes, it was a betrayal. But they said, "That's what children are for." They argue that the story is far better than their father believed it to be. Garcia Marquez was unable to finish the novella owing to his memory loss. But that same memory loss might have clouded his judgment. He might have been unable to see how good the work really was. As he was suffering from dementia, he confided in his family that he felt lost as an artist, and he often didn't even recognize his own work. That was his state of mind when he proclaimed Until August to be unworthy. Here's yet another complication. Garcia Marquez did like the story earlier in life. He published parts of it in magazines and even read from it during a lecture at Georgetown University. So if he liked it enough to publish parts of it, and if he liked it enough to read from it in public, and if he only condemned it when he was already suffering from dementia, then should it really be hidden forever? Garcia Marquez's sons also argue that the work belongs to readers, that it belongs to the body of literature, and that it would be a greater betrayal to deprive the world of this work. We decided to put his reader's pleasure above all other concerns, his sons write. If they are delighted, they say, it's possible he might forgive us. In a later interview, they said that there are plenty of examples of manuscripts which writers wanted to destroy, but which later became important works of literature. There's another argument for releasing Until August. This was Garcia Marquez's only unpublished work. So by releasing it, his sons have given the world the complete collection of the famous writer. There's nothing else lurking in a box somewhere. No other scraps of unfinished works. Nothing coming out in another 10 years. This is it. The world now has the full literary work of Gabriel Garcia Marquez to study, to enjoy, to learn from, to be inspired by, now and forever in the future. But there are good arguments against posthumously publishing an unfinished work. First, this does go against the writer's specific wishes. It would be a clearer case if the story were almost complete and if the writer had died before he could finish editing it. But that isn't what happened here. In this case, the novella was complete, or as complete as Garcia Marquez was going to make it, and yet he still said it should be destroyed. What's more, an artist's legacy is as much about what was released as about what was not released. We, in the public, don't have the right to all the other drafts, to the rejected pages, the crossed out lines, the ideas that went nowhere. That goes for paintings, music, photography, literature, every form of art. So why should we have the right to a mostly finished story just because some people, not the artist, some people thought this rejected draft was good enough to bear the artist's name? Next, the text that was released is not the final text that Garcia Marquez wrote, for the simple fact that there were five drafts in various states of completion, plus fragments and notes spread over more than 700 pages. Garcia Marquez marked one manuscript as okay. The writer's editor, Cristobal Pera, said that as he compiled the final version, he stayed true to the manuscript and fragments that Garcia Marquez preferred. He did not add any words that Garcia Marquez did not write. Pera, the editor, only compiled the parts that had already been written. He said he worked like a restorer facing a great master's canvas. Even so, careful readers will wonder how much license the editor took when assembling the final draft. And finally, some fans will get an uneasy feeling that the book was published less for the writer's legacy than for his family's desire to squeeze a little more out of the writer's estate on the anniversary of his death. This is a tough one. I agree with the Colombian journalist Juan Mosquera, who said they're not offering it to you as a manuscript, as an unfinished work. They are offering you the last novel by Garcia Marquez, which this really isn't. This is tough. I think here is what I would have decided. Respect the writer's wishes as much as possible without depriving the world of something. And for that, I would say the five drafts should have been available intact the way he left them, without an editor's interference, and they should have been made available with his papers at his archives. And that way, scholars and superfans could have read it and studied it in context, all five drafts, maybe even online, as a historical artifact. But to publish it commercially, to put the author's name on it, to say it's his final book, to design a cover, to put it on bookshelves, to sell it, I think that crosses a line. Cloud your judgment. This is a hard one. Cloud, in this case, is a verb. It means something impairs your judgment. It means that you are not able to think clearly. You're no longer able to make clear, unbiased decisions. We typically use this when someone's emotions or bias get in the way of good decision making. Let's say you start a company and it's successful and you want to retire. Who will take your place? Many company founders proudly hand the reins over to one of their kids. They're proud of having a family business. And often that works out, and the company grows and thrives with the second and third generations. But often, it does not work out that way. Sometimes, the founder's kids are not equipped to run the company, and the founder's relationship with his kids can cloud his judgment. His relationship with them, his love for his kids, his desire to keep the business in the family, that clouds his judgment. It makes it hard for him to make an impartial, unbiased decision. If he had been thinking clearly, he might have decided an outside CEO is best for the company, but his relationship clouds his judgment, and he incorrectly thinks his kids are ready to take over. It can work the other way, too. Imagine that at work, you just personally don't get along with someone else in the office. Maybe you have different politics. Maybe you have different personal styles. Your personal differences can cloud your judgment. You might not want to work with that person. You might not want to take that person's advice. You might not want to listen to that person's ideas, even when you should. You might let your emotions cloud your judgment. Your emotions prevent you from making unbiased decisions. I lived through a deep recession early in my working career. It was 2007. When it all started, and the recession lasted well into 2009. The recovery was long and very slow. I worked in the commercial real estate industry, and I was early in my career. And that was a scary time. Every Friday, for a good long time, we came to work wondering who would lose their jobs that week. I kept my job throughout it, actually even got a better job at the tail end of the recession, but that experience, I can tell you, clouded my judgment in the future. For many of us who went through this, we were too cautious in our careers and in our investing in the future because we had suffered through that recession. And at work, I worked in commercial real estate analyzing investments for years after. I had to always ask myself, am I being too pessimistic here? Am I letting my emotions, my memory of that recession, cloud my judgment about investments in the future? I even admit now that for many years, I was afraid to look for other jobs. I was more concerned with keeping the job I had, given my experience in the recession. And that was years after the recession was over. But memories, emotions, past experiences can cloud your judgment for a long time. And then sadly, as we age, memory loss and dementia can cloud our judgment too. The famous Colombian writer Gabriel Garcia Marquez drafted a novella called Until August. He worked on it on and off for decades. In his final years, he suffered from memory loss and he couldn't finish the work to his satisfaction. He decided the book should not be published. But could his memory loss have clouded his judgment? Could it be that the story was better than he thought? Could it be that he, at his advanced age, was not thinking clearly enough to decide that the book should never be published? His sons gambled that yes, his judgment was clouded, and that yes, the book should be published. Well, that brings us to the end of today's Plain English. Cloud your judgment is a hard one. I'm not going to lie, this isn't an expression you're going to use every day, but it's the kind of expression that will elevate your speech, make you really sound natural if you can use it in exactly the right situation. And that's why we have the practice area called Your Turn on the website, right next to the transcript of this episode. And that's where you can write your own examples, your own sentences with this expression. And then I will give you personal feedback on it. Now, the reason I love this, you get to practice once, twice, writing a sentence, maybe making a small mistake, it's okay, and then getting it right. You do that here with us at Plain English, and then when you're in a real-world situation, you'll have the confidence to use the expression correctly. And it's even more important with an expression like cloud your judgment, because this one is less common. You're going to hear this less frequently in your life, so you may as well take the opportunity now to learn it. Anyway, that's the Your Turn tab on the transcript page. You get to the transcripts for this lesson at plainenglish.com/664 and click on the section that says Cloud Your Judgment and find the Your Turn tab. Great job on today's lesson. See you back here on Thursday for a new one.